بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا. اللهم نور قلوبنا بعلمك واستعمل أبداننا لطاعتك ووفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والعمل والفعل والنية والهدى إنك على كل شيء قدير. يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح، يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح، يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح. ما بعد، we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow our sitting here at the end of our day of fast to become a means of our forgiveness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inspire us with the best of words that will become a source of getting all of us motivated to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in earnest dua throughout the day and throughout the night. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he make dua a part of our daily life and for the rest of our life. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Today we will be covering a dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or rather a dua of a companion, a Bedouin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the conversation that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had with him. This is a beautiful, beautiful hadith, and this dua is mentioned in Majma'u al-Zawaid of Haythami, and also found in Munajat Maqbool, the Accepted Whispers book, and also the Al-Hazb al-Azam. Anas bin Malik radiyallahu anhu says, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مر بأعرابي وهو يدعو في صلاته. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم passed by a Bedouin who was making dua in his salah. وهو يقول, and this person was saying, in the Arabic, يا من لا تراه العيون ولا تخالطه الظنون ولا يصفه الواصفون ولا تغيره الحوادث ولا يخشى الدوائر يعلم مثاقيل الجبال ومكائل البحار وعدد قطر الأمطار وعدد ورق الأشجار وعدد ما أظلم عليه الليل وأشرق عليه النهار ولا تواري منه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ولا بحر ما في قعره ولا جبل ما في وعره اجعل خير عمري آخرة وخير عملي خواتيمة وخير أيامي يوم ألقاك فيه. فوكل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الأعرابي رجلا فقال. So this dua, you know, I will get into it. It's so powerful, it's so long, it's so beautiful. You need a lot more time than we have right now. But so before we get into the translation of the dua itself, let me tell you what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then did. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by this Bedouin, and he hears this Sahabi making this dua. He's so impressed by this Bedouin's dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed a man. He appointed a man. What was his job? فَقَالَ إِذَا صَلَّى. When this man finishes, when this Bedouin finishes with the dua, completing his salah, فَأْتِينِي بِهِ, bring him to me. Bring this Bedouin to me. فَلَمَّا أَتَاهُ, when the Bedouin completed salah and he was informed that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is waiting for you, let's go. So he went to him. He went to him, and the وَقَدْ كَانَ أُهْدِيَ إِلِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ ذَهَبٌ مِّن بَعْضِ الْمَعَادٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been given a gift of gold from one of the mines. Someone had given a gold bar from one of the mines, gold mines. فَلَمَّا أَتَاهُ الْأَعْرَابِيُّ وَهَبَ لَهُ الذَّهَبَ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw this Bedouin who had made such a dua, he gifted him with this bar of gold. وَقَالَ مِمَّنْ أَنْتَ يَا أَعْرَابِ. He said, where are you from? Or which tribe are you from, O Bedouin? فَقَالَ مِنْ بَنِي عَامِرْ بِنْ صَعْصَعَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. He said, I'm from the Banu Amir bin Sa'sa'a tribe, O the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قَالَ هَلْ تَدْرِي لِمَا وَهَبْتُ لَكَ الذَّهَبْ. Do you know why I gifted you this gold? This big bar of gold, brick of gold. You know why I gave it to you? قَالَ لِلْرَحِمِ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكَ. He said, because of my relationship between you and I. We are relatives, it seems now. I'm from Banu Amir bin Sa'sa'a tribe and we're related. قَالَ إِنَّ لِلْرَحِيمِ حَقَّ He said, indeed, blood ties have their rights. If you are a blood relative of someone, they have a right upon you. That's the reality. One scholar, he made an interesting point. He said, if we were true Muslims, or if this entire country were Muslim, you should not have the homeless crisis. Earlier this week, I was in San Francisco. You know, it's in the news all the time. It's a horrible, horrible situation there. LA situation here as well. Tons of people homeless. And if you think about it, are these homeless people, they have not a single blood relative? There might be a few whose everyone died. But a lot of them, naturally, they have cousins. They have aunts, uncles, and extended families. But this, when deen is not followed, whether you're Muslim or not Muslim, you have a situation like this. It's not possible that a person says, I have a blood relative and he can sleep outside for the rest of his life. Not possible. You cannot allow your blood relative to be, you know, homeless. Instead, a person naturally, if I were to say this, your relative, would you allow that? You say, no, how can I even allow him one day to be sleeping outside like that? He has to be in some home. So when relationships are not taken care of, then you have this issue. One of many issues is homelessness. Many other issues as well. So the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ لِلْرَحِيمِ حَقَّ Yes, definitely being a blood relative, you have a right upon me. That's why I could possibly have given you what? Gold bar. وَلَكِنْ وَهَبْتُ لَكَ الذَّهَبْ But I have actually given you this gold bar. بِحُسْنِ ثَنَائِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ Because of how beautifully you have praised Allah. Okay. So this is the dua. This dua is such a beautiful dua because it's based on praising Allah. Yesterday we mentioned as well, the dua of the Prophet ﷺ and the dua of what he's taught the Sahaba is the dua in which is not about just ask. It's rather, we first spend time with Allah, praising Him, thanking Him, acknowledging our endless mistakes. And then after we have built up that relationship, only then we request for something. That is what's happening in Surah Al-Fatiha. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawm Al-Din. Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in. More than half of the surah, four verses. What is it? Praising Allah, acknowledging Allah's greatness and grandeur and might, making it very clear that I'm not knocking in every door and then knocked at your door too. No, you're the only door that I knock at. And then we make the ask. And what is the ask? اِهْدِنَ الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ Oh Allah, please guide me to the straight path. And the rest of it is dua. That's why it comes in hadith. That when a person says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَمَدَنِي عَبْدِي My servant has praised me. When he says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions, مَجَّدَنِي عَبْدِي أَوْ أَثْنَى عَلِي عَبْدِي When he says, Maliki Yawm al-Din, similar. Allah responds that this, my servant has praised me, my servant has glorified me, my servant has done this. Then, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. He says, this is between me and my servant. This is for my servant and for me both. Because there's the ibadah part, is for. And not, yani, Allah is taking, yani saying, okay, khalas, you're worshiping me. Wa iyaka nasta'in, it's me giving back to you. I'm seeking your assistance. So he says, this is half for me, half for you. But then, when he comes to اِهْدِنَ الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ onwards, he says, this is all for my servant. So this is pretty deep. When you read Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah is interacting with me. Allah is responding to me. At every word, Allah is responding. And this Fatihatul Kitab, which is known to all of us, the key opening chapter of the Quran, so powerful. Yet even in this, every word is so measured. Every ayah is counted naturally. More than half of it, we are speaking to Allah about who our relationship with Him, how great He is, etc., etc. We're not asking anything. think we have, so we talked about this yesterday, that dua is about gaining Allah's trust, or if I can use that word, building a relationship with Allah, bringing this credibility with Allah that you mean it, and then at the end finally making the ask. So this is an amazing example of how you're supposed to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Notice this Bedouin, did he hear this from the Prophet some of these exact words? Probably not. Why would the Prophet ﷺ give him a huge bar of gold if he's just repeating the same hadith? It's because he decided to, and Allah inspired him to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a manner, and the Prophet ﷺ loved it, that's why he gave him this gift. So let's go through the dua. Ya man la tarahu al-uyun, O the one who eyes cannot see. O the one who eyes cannot see. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, لا تدركه الأبصار, لا تدركه الأبصار, that the eyes cannot encompass him. وهو يدرك الأبصار, while he can encompass all eyes and all the people who have those eyes. So subhanallah, he says, oh, the being who can eyes cannot see, ولا تخالطه الظنون, and who the imagination of the human being cannot properly comprehend and mix with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah is above a logical comprehension. Allah is above the ability for the eye to see. وَلَا يَصِفُهُ الْوَاصِفُونَ, those who are expert at describing things, that's their job, to sit and describe a scene. لَا يَصِفُهُ, they are not able to describe him. They are out of words. وَلَا تُغَيِّرُهُ الْحَوَادِثِ, and the incidents of this world. حَادِثَةٌ حَوَادِثِ, issues, events, natural disasters. لَا تُغَيِّرُهُ, don't change him. You look at a person, he's got 35 years old, 30 years old, he looks old. What happened to him? Bhai, zamana ne bura kar diya, halat ne bura kar diya. Difficulty in his life has made him old. Listening to the stories sometimes of people just within our own community. Heart-wrenching stories. We don't know they're praying right next to us. What's going on in their home? Disabled children, disabled parents, people who are sick, people falling ill, you know, lots of debt, financial constraints, people who are in their family psychologically ill, people who are on drugs and addicted to it. It's crazy. What type of stress with what people come to the house of Allah, subhanAllah. May Allah alleviate their sources of pain and suffering, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring sukoon, itminan, peace in their lives, and may Allah protect us all from that as well. So this is called haditha. Okay, problems. La tughayyiru al-hawadith, no incidents of the world change him. Wa la yakhsha ad-dawair, and he's not afraid of any type of calamity. Who is Allah going to be afraid of? Because everything is under his control. يَعْلَمُ مَثَاقِلَ الْجِبَالِ, Allah knows the weight of the mountains. وَمَكَائِلَ الْبِحَارِ, and the volume of the oceans. Allah knows the weight of the mountains, the volume of the oceans. And he knows the number of raindrops that fall. وَعَدَدَ وَرَقِ الْأَشْجَارِ, and he knows the number of leaves on any given tree. وَعَدَدَ مَا أَظْلَمَ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلُ وَأَشْرَقَ عَلَيْهِ النَّهَارِ, and he knows the number of things upon which the night sets and upon which the sun rises. All of those things on which the night sets and on which the sun rises. Allah knows how many they are, what they are, where they are. وَلَا تُوَارِي مِنْهُ سَمَاءٌ سَمَاءَ, no sky is able to hide what the other sky above it holds. What's in the other sky? No lower sky is able to block off what's in the sky above it from Allah. وَلَا أَرْضٌ أَرْضًا, no earth is able to block off what is below it. وَلَا بَحْرٌ مَا فِي قَعْرِهِ, and no ocean is able to block away and hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what lays below in its craters, inside the ocean.
ولا جبل ما في وعره, and no mountain can hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what lies within deep inside the mountain. This till here is all the praises of Allah. Such beautiful, amazing praises. This man, he didn't sit and memorize this dua from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he understood who Allah is. And he's a Bedouin in the desert. So he speaks to Allah the way a person who is working in nature will speak. He is reflecting in Allah's greatness through nature. Just now, someone messaged me, said, SubhanAllah, I had a near miss, horrible car accident. Allah saved me. And then they mentioned that we gave sadaqah. I gave sadaqah this morning. And I know it is through the barakah of the sadaqah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved me from having a horrible accident. My friends, to be able to reflect on your surroundings and connect it back to Allah, this is the real deal. There are many who have near miss accidents, but they say, oh, that was close. Thumma, then what? Miss, that's it. Or they may even curse, or they may say something else. Exclamation. Where are you connecting the dots back to Allah? That's what is supposed to happen. That any incident happens in your life, good or bad, expected or unexpected, we attribute it back to Allah Azza wa Jal. And the Bedouin, he is reflecting on his nature and his surroundings, and he's connecting back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Hudhud came back to Sulaiman alayhi salam and told him about Bilqis and all the other incidents that happened, and Sulaiman wrote a letter to her. The Quranic verse mentions that why, oh people, the Hudhud is mentioning, why are you not worshipping Allah? يُخْرِجُ الْخَبَأَ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, that Allah who takes out the seed in the heavens and the earth, the germinating of the seeds coming out of the fruits, the seeds falling into different parts of the earth and for it to start planting another tree, the seed becoming a means of many animals eating from it, and of course the seed also the sustenance of who? Who? The birds. So look at how smart this bird was, that he was able to understand and connect Allah through its prism, through its vision and outlook at life. So all of us have our own issues, or rather all of us have our own jobs, have our own education, have our own set of eyes. We should be focusing on Allah in our surroundings, and in our field of work, in our field of study. Try to see how we can find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there. If you find Him, you will be overwhelmed with joy that alhamdulillah, I see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sign over here. So then the sahabi goes on and he says, اجعل خير عمري آخرة. Oh Allah, make the best of my life the last of my life. What does that mean? End in a good way. Right? End in a good way. How we start doesn't count. It's our ending. It's so scary. No matter what we have done the whole life, how we end is what counts. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said various hadith about that. He said, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَعْمَلُ عَمَلَ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ فِي مَا يَرَى النَّاسِ. A man, he sometimes does the good deeds. He does good deeds in the eyes of the people. What? إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَعْمَلُ عَمَلَ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ فِي مَا يَرَى النَّاسِ. This is what I was trying to say. Indeed, a man, he does good deeds in the eyes of the people. People think he's going to Jannah. وَإِنَّهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ, when in reality he's actually headed to hellfire. So if anyone looks at him, my dear brothers, how many of us, like people look at us, mashallah, you're Jannati.
look at you, look at you. Student, look at how you're dressed. You're sitting in the masjid all day. And we're like, yeah, thanks for recognizing me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there are people who do actions are such that people would definitely think that they are going to Jannah. But unfortunately, what is it? وَإِنَّهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. They actually headed to hellfire. وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَعْمَلُ عَمَلَ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فِي مَا يَرَى النَّاسِ وَإِنَّهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. And there are others who do the actions of the people of Jahannam in the eyes of the people, but they're actually destined towards paradise. And then he mentioned, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. Indeed, actions are based on, are judged on their endings. SubhanAllah. So, we're asking Allah, or this Bedouin is asking Allah, he says, oh Allah, make the last portion of my life the best, because that's where sometimes people change. In the eyes of the people, this man was going to Jannah. But then something happened towards the end of times. You know, when I talk about atheism and this and that, some of you think I'm just making things up. I got a message just a couple hours ago. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's long. But it's a message from our community. I don't know how far. 1 mile, half mile, 1.5 mile. Some person who I don't know who he is. He obviously knows me, so he messaged me. He said, I need some advice for a friend of mine who left Islam a couple years ago. But his mom still doesn't know. His name is so-and-so. His mom still makes him fast. And he says if he were to tell his mom, he fears that she might kick him out. I feel bad since I'm obviously Muslim and I haven't done anything to get him back to Islam. I feel he's gotten too far away from the deen, from drinking alcohol to eating pork, etc., etc., and making fun of the deen as well. So, friend group is all non-Muslim. They might be respectful to Islam, but this guy himself makes fun of the deen. And so the list continues. What should I do? He mentions very clearly that he's from our local neighborhood. Both the brother who's texting me and the one who's asking help for. This is just like the endless. We when we look at this Ramadan crowd right now, every place is no place for standing up for Taraweeh everywhere. Alhamdulillah. This is still the super top 5%. The vast majority of the ummah are not here on the first night of Taraweeh. They're not here on the 27th night. They're not here on the 29th night. They're never here. They're lucky if the janazah is brought to the masjid from some relative forces. The janazah to be performed in the masjid, they'll come. Besides that, they won't come here alive. And I was speaking to another very influential person within the tech world, and he was sharing with me the same thing. That from his experience, people are simply just not getting it. They think that the average Muslim comes to the masjid. The average Muslim comes, sits in the dars in a bayan. Average Muslims come for taraweeh. These are not average Muslims. These are really pious, conservative, practicing Muslims. And they are definitely not the norm. The average norm person, unfortunately, is very, very far away from the deen. But we're so focused on this group, we don't realize how many are actually falling apart, leaving the deen. How many of those who come to the masjid, their own immediate siblings, are completely not just in sin, but unfortunately in disbelief. So where did we start from? Where did we end up? This is my point, why I'm asking. It's so important for us to focus on the ending, not where we just started off from. He said, oh Allah, make the best part of my life the last part. وَخَيْرَ عَمَلِي خَوَاتِيمًا. And oh Allah, make the best of my actions the last ones. وَخَيْرَ يَوْمِي يَوْمَ أَلْقَاكَ فِيهِ. And oh Allah, make the best day of my life the day I meet you. The day I die, ya Allah, make that the best day of my life. Why? So you have a stock, you want to cash it out. It will obviously want to cash it out when it reaches the highest, after which there is never going to go back again. If you were to have that crystal ball, to be able to know how valuable the stock is,
And now it has hit $330. Let me sell. But what if it gets $340 tomorrow or next week or the month? Then I would have lost out a lot of money. But imagine if you had a way to know that it's $330 today and from tomorrow it'll become $327. And then after that it'll be $320. And after that, on and on and on. Till I die, it'll only go downhill. Then which person will not want to buy? Would sell that same time. You want to cash out when it's at the highest level. This is what we're saying here. Oh Allah, allow my best deeds to be my final deeds. And oh Allah, make the best day of my life the day I meet you. This is the dua. How much of praising is in here? And what was the actual dua? That, oh Allah, make the best life of my life, the favorite life. Make the best part of my life, the last part of life. And, oh Allah, make the best deeds of mine, the final ones. And the best day of my life, the day I meet you. Bas, three things. Notice all three things have to do with the same thing. Akhirul Umr. Number one, Akhir al-Amal and Akhir Yom. Akhir Umar. Oh Allah, allow my best part of my life not to be the first but the latter one. Akhir Amal. Oh Allah, let the end deeds be the best. And the Akhir Day, Akhir Yom, Ya Allah, allow me to die on the best day of my life. So we see when faham and understanding comes into a person, even if he's a Bedouin, he will make a dua that baffles us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all his attachment. Ameen. Grant our loved ones, our elders and our youngsters. Oh Allah, grant us the ability to know you the way you ought to be known and to reach out to you and pray to you the way you ought to be. Pray to Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen. We can inshallah head downstairs and we'll begin the dua. Brothers can move, make their way downstairs.